Here we go. All right, so picking up at page 128, let me get ready to share my screen again. I should have already done that. And what he's talking about last week, just quick review, on page 123, he talked about the Spirit being outpoured. So there are two things, and he talks about chapter 2. And one of the main things he said is because Christ is on the right hand of the Father and he's exalted, the Holy Ghost has come forth. And it's no relation to our merits or the things that we've done. It's already a done deal. So these first four steps are things that Christ has already accomplished, and there's nothing for us to do. Now that is powerful. So before we get to faith is again the key, I wanted to get to the bottom of page 128. And just quick review, he breaks this up into two parts. One is the Spirit outpoured, and the other is the Spirit indwelling. We talked about the outpouring of the Spirit last week. We're going to talk about the indwelling of the Spirit and what that means. Because from a Pentecostal background, my experience with them has been that, wow, we know about the outpouring, but we miss the indwelling. And that's where we got a little bit of a disconnect in the normal Christian life. So let me take you to, if you can see my screen, he says, some time ago, down here, he says, some time ago, a young man who had only been a Christian for 5 weeks and who had formerly been violently opposed to the gospel attended a series of meetings which I was addressing in Shanghai. At the close of one in which I was speaking above along the above lines, meaning that the Holy Spirit has already come upon us, he went home and began to earnestly pray. Lord, I do want the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing thou hast now been glorified. Wilt thou not now pour out thy Spirit upon me? I highlighted this in green because then he corrected himself. And this is why it may not be so prevalent to you guys, but it is to me. Because I always felt like there was something that I needed to do specifically, some work, some fasting, some prayer. There was something that I needed to do in order to experience and receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. It just could not be that easy, and I am not that good. So I just need to do some great work or something that's going to allow me to experience the outpouring of his Spirit. So he says he's praying this, and I've prayed this prayer. Then he said he corrected himself. And it's a correction, and notice the correction. I love this prayer. Oh no, Lord, that's all wrong. And he began to pray again. And he says this. Lord Jesus, we are in a life partnership, thou and I, and the Father has promised us two things. Glory for thee and the Spirit for me. Thou, Lord, hast received the glory. Therefore, it is unthinkable that I have not received the Spirit. Lord, I praise thee. Thou hast already received the glory, and I have already received the Spirit. From that day, the power of the Spirit was consciously upon him. So there is no excuse for us as Baptists to not experience the outpouring of the Spirit. It's already there. So what is it that we need to do in order to make sure we have this outpouring of the Spirit? Now, again, this is Chuck, based upon how I understand the scriptures, we already had the Spirit when we got saved. But the outpouring is a greater surrender. It's a deeper filling. It's a baptism. I'm full. I am led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what step four is all about. I become in union, all right, with the body of Christ. All right. So faith is, again, the key. So this takes us over to page 129. And so how do I get this? If it's that easy and I'm not really kind of feeling it, how do I get it? And the key, again, is faith. And I highlighted some things here. As for forgiveness, so equally for the coming upon us of the Holy Spirit, the whole question is one of faith. So what he does here and what I've highlighted is, how do I know that I have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that I'm full of the Holy Spirit? How do I understand that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is already on me? And he says, it's the same way that you know that your sins are forgiven and that you're crucified in Christ and that you know Christ lives in you. It's through revelation of the word, faith in that word, and then you live it out, or you present yourself to God standing on the promises. So I highlighted in red what he's saying here, because he says, because Christ is on the throne, we know that the Spirit has been poured out. How do we know that? Because that's what the scripture says in Acts chapter 2. I like this in red. The basis upon which we receive the endowment, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is not our praying and fasting and waiting, but the exaltation of Christ. Again, there is nothing more that we have to do to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's already there. We only have to receive it by faith, which is the same way that we receive steps 1, 2, and 3. You receive step 4 the same way, because that's the initial work of Christ in his first coming. All right. The gift is not for the favored few, but for all, because it is not given on what we are at all, but of what Christ is. The Spirit has been poured out to prove his goodness and greatness, and not ours. So that's a key reason, and sometimes we miss this, and I know I did. The key reason for the outpouring of the Spirit is to give God glory. It is not to give us glory. So if I was pursuing the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, if I was pursuing that of my own works, I would be giving myself glory rather than receiving what Christ has already done. All right. So let me make sure there's nobody else waiting. All right. Let's keep going. I like this part. Suppose an unbeliever, and this is over on page 129 at the bottom. Suppose an unbeliever expresses a desire to be saved, and you explain to him the way to salvation, and you pray with him. And suppose then he prays after this fashion. Lord Jesus, I believe thou hast died for me, and that thou can blot out all my sins. I truly believe that you will forgive me. Have you any confidence that that man is saved? Now, before I started reading this book, I would have said, sure, that's a good prayer. But Nee says, that's not a good prayer. Here's a better prayer. I highlighted it in green. Lord, I praise thee that thou hast forgiven my sins, that thou hast died for me. Therefore, my sins are not going to be blotted out. They already are blotted out. You believe a person is saved when prayer turns to praise. So if I'm praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when it's already available to me, and what releases that is faith, then instead of asking for the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I should be praising God and thanking him that I already have it, because it's already done, because he's already given it to me. I need only be able to understand that, have that revealed, and walk in that power. So this has been life altering for me in my walk. So because of the coronavirus, I can't play basketball, which is my basic workout. I can't go to the gym or whatever. So I've been running through the neighborhood. So I'll get up and run through the neighborhood early in the morning so nobody can see me laboring or whatever. And I'll get out and I'll walk and then I'll just kind of jog a little bit. And I'm praying. That's my prayer walk, my prayer jog. And so I'm up at 5:30 in the morning and I'm running through the neighborhood and praying. And, you know, when you work out, you get tired. I get tired. I'm out of shape or whatever, and I get tired. My runs have been much more pleasant, much more enjoyable. Not only because I'm praying to the Lord, I'm having that fellowship time while I'm doing that, but I'm feeling great strength and power in my run, even though I got limitations in my flesh. You know what I've been thinking every time I start to get tired? You know what I'm thinking in my mind that encourages me? I am powered by the Holy Ghost. Even when I do my workouts, I remind myself that I am powered by the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine what that does to me as I start to run out of gas a little bit or whatever? I never run out of gas because I'm not trying to do my workout or my prayer in my own strength. I am powered by the Holy Spirit. And I walk in the knowledge of that. That is the outpouring of the Spirit. I'm just going to pause to see if that, am I sounding crazy? Or I mean, and what it does is it reminds me that every decision that I make throughout the day, I need to remind myself that I am powered by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? My movement, my being, my understanding, my decisions, how I act, my attitude is powered by the Holy Spirit. And what's the opposite of not being powered by the Holy Spirit? Being powered by sin, flesh, the world. I'm powered by the Holy Spirit. So I like to pray every morning to make sure that I'm lined up at least to level 4 and it's not that I'm asking God, you know, I don't know about you, but I used to ask, Lord, lead me, give me more of your Spirit, lead me by your Spirit so I'll make right decisions. I don't pray that anymore. I say, thank you, Lord God, for your indwelling Spirit. And may I always surrender and be powered by your Spirit in the decisions that I make today. That's a difference. All right. He says, in the same way you can pray and wait for years and never experience the Spirit's power. You don't even have to answer this, but I know there's got to be Christians out there that have prayed for or not understood what the baptism or this outpouring of the Spirit is. And they've been waiting for it. They don't know what it feels like. They haven't experienced it. And they're waiting for it. And they're praying for it. And it's already there. And they've been missing it all these years. Do you hear what I said? There are Christians out there that are lacking level 4. And they don't know how to get there. And it's right there in the Scriptures. And it's available for them. And all they got to do is have the faith. And you can go years not having the power to live the normal Christian life. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson today, you got to know that you already have, it's almost like you already have electricity. All you got to do is have the faith to turn the switch on and see the light. Otherwise, you'll have electricity and still be in the dark. Because you never realize that you have that power and you don't turn the switch on to execute it. All right. Trustfully praise him that the Spirit has been poured out because the Lord Jesus has been glorified. Again, there is, oh man, this is just so earth-shattering for me. There is nothing that we need to do because he's already been glorified. Us having the outpouring of the Spirit is not dependent on what we do. It is dependent on what God does. And he has been glorified, so the Spirit has been poured out. That's it. You execute it by faith. Why do we not have this power? Because we don't know. For some reason, it has not been revealed to us, even though it's right there in the Word. So need takes the Word, reveals it to us, and now, just like Pastor Bishop preached today, you know the way. We know the way. It's in the script. We know the way. Now we just got to believe. Do we believe that this is true? Do we really believe that the word says that the Spirit has already been poured out? Do we believe that? So, we know the way. If we believe that to be the truth, then now we just got to walk in the life. I walk in the power of the knowledge of knowing by faith that I have the fullness of the Godhead inside of me. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That is powerful. If somebody said knowledge is powerful, they were right. All right. He says, Jesus is not going to be made Lord. He is Lord. Therefore, I'm not going to receive the Spirit. I have received the Spirit. It is all a question of faith, the faith which comes by revelation. When our eyes are opened, all right, prayer turns to praise in our hearts. I believe somebody today did not know this, and when this call is over, or they might be doing it right now, they are probably praying in their mind and saying, you know what, thank you, Lord, my request has turned to praise. I have the outpouring of your Spirit inside of me, and I want to tap into that and be powered by the Holy Spirit. All right. He talks a little bit again. I think we're over on page 130, somewhere around in there. Yeah. He says God's gifts are freely given. There was once here, Jesus is not going to be made Lord. I like that part. Somebody was waiting. I'm going to let them in. All right. So I like here, he talks about Acts 2:38-39. This is Peter's sermon, part of his sermon. And the people are pricked to their hearts because they're saying, what must we do to be saved now that we realize that, you know, we crucified Christ? He says, the first thing you do is you repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. And you might one day receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. No. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if Peter preaches a sermon that says, repent, there's Nelly Sue. And be baptized. And baptism, we know, takes up those first three steps. Humility, baptism, new life, then by default, we automatically get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So he tells them, through feast language or whatever, you make these first three steps, you got it. All right, so then he goes into, on page 131, he goes through four things mentioned in the passage. It talks about repentance, baptism, forgiveness, and the Holy Spirit. What are the conditions to be filled if we are to have forgiveness of sin? According to the word, there are two, repentance and baptism. So we know from the feast that that's, you know, your humble submission to the Lord, crucifying the old, putting yourself down, putting the old guy down, and getting up with new life. That's the whole baptism thing. So, he says the first condition is repentance. For us as feast people, that's step two, right, which means a change of mind. Formerly, I thought sin a pleasant thing. Now I've changed my mind about it. Formerly, I thought the world an attractive place, but now I know better. Formerly, I regarded it a miserable business to be a Christian, but now I think differently. Once I thought certain things delightful, now I think them vile. So he explains what repentance is. That is a change of mind, and that is repentance. No life can truly be changed apart from such a change of mind. You need step two before you can go with step three. All right? And all that's kind of review from last time. And then he says the second condition is baptism. And baptism is that outward expression of an inward faith. All right? So you don't go and get baptized on the outside until you've been baptized on the inside. Got to do step 2 and 3. All right. So then he asks the question, have you repented? Nod your head and say yes, unless you have not repented for something that you need to be repenting for already. Have you testified publicly to your union with your Lord? Baptized you have. Then you have received remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's asking. Say you have, a good answer. All right. Say you have only received the first gift, not the second. But my friend, God offered you two things when you fulfilled two conditions. Why have you only taken one? What are you doing about the second? This is powerful. And then he gives an example of, suppose I went to a bookshop and, you know, and he bought a book and he gives the example of the book. And if you've already paid for it, would you go back and get it? Yes, I would, because it's already paid for. So about every other day, I go to Chappie's and get breakfast at the takeout. They got the little car hop thing or whatever. And so I go to Chappie's to get my, blueberry pancakes and a side of grits. Love blueberry pancakes and a side of grits. And I go in, and I was thinking about this because, as I'm transferring my pancakes from the plastic, you know, container that they're in, putting them on the plate so I can zap them in the microwave for about another 25 seconds. You know, I'm just taking precautions because I'm old. All right. So, and as I was transferring, Al, I'm going to talk to you because nobody else is listening. As I was transferring my pancakes over to my plate, a big old juicy blueberry was left in the container. Didn't make it to my plate. Okay. And I said for a minute, you know, what's one blueberry?
You paid for it.
Oh, talk to me, Al. I paid for that blueberry. Do you know what I did?
You put it in the microwave.
I put that thing. I didn't even worry about coronavirus. I picked it up with my hand. I picked that blueberry up and put it on my plate. And I'm like, I'm eating this blueberry. Why am I eating this blueberry, Al? Because I paid for it. It's mine. I want every blueberry that I paid for. Christ paid for it. What did he pay for? He paid for you to be able to be called his son and daughter. He paid for you and I to bury the old and put on the new. He paid for us to be filled with his Holy Spirit and have his power. Why are we living beneath our privileges and why are we not fighting and receiving everything that he paid for? I want it all. All the way to level 7. I want it all. Because he paid for it. Mm-hmm. When we don't get everything and we don't follow all these steps, or we miss these things and we do them out of order, then what we're basically saying to the Lord is, well, you know, thank you very much for all that you went through, but you didn't have to go through all that. This is good enough for me. I want it all. I want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So from a Baptist perspective, and being Baptist all of my life, most of my life, the question when I became Pentecostal was, as Baptists, how come we're not going for everything that he died for? Why are we not receiving and pursuing the outpouring and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why stop at just level 3? Oh, but I got something for Pentecostals too, because we get kind of crazy. All right. I'm glad that I'm Baptist and Pentecostal. It's the best of both worlds. Anyway, that takes us over to diversity of experience.
Already.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. And in my notes, I also made the example. If you ever think that, Chuck, I think you're off or we need more proof or whatever, I wrote in my notes, just look at the children of Israel. They walk through the same path when they come out of Egypt. And you look at 1 Corinthians 10, and it tells you, you know, this is written for, you know, we're going to give you this historical story so that you not walk in ignorance. All of our forefathers walked through the spiritual baptism and a washing baptism when they walked through the Red Sea. So basically, the children of Israel went through steps 1, 2, 3 and got to Mount Sinai, step 4. So if we've been baptized, Mount Sinai is automatic. In fact, God even tells Moses, how do I know that you're with me? Because you're going to bring them on the same mountain where this burning bush is the same place where you're going to bring the people. Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 19. Pentecost. All right. Diversity of experience. And this is where I got messed up as Pentecostal. All right. How he says here on page 133, he says, how shall I know that the Holy Spirit is come upon me? How do I know? Hey, Chuck, you're talking this stuff. You're saying the operant. I already have the operant. How do I know that it's come upon me? And he says, well, here's a good answer. I can't tell you how you will know, but you will know. You just know. I don't know. You just know. All right. We do not know exactly how they felt, but we do know that their feelings and behavior are somewhat abnormal. So when you see in the Bible, you know, these examples of the Holy Spirit or whatever falling on people or the outpouring, how do you know? Because what he's saying here is, and this is powerful, and the title is right there. There are diversities of the experience of the Holy Spirit. All right. For some, you'll see an overwhelming sense of the divine presence. We cannot and we must not stipulate. Oh, this is important. I should have put this in red. We cannot and we must not stipulate what particular form such outward expressions of the baptism of the Holy Spirit will take in any given case. But one thing is sure, that each one upon whom the Spirit falls will know it. All right. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to come back to that. Peter offered an explanation from God's word. He said, when the Spirit falls upon all believers, some will prophesy, some will dream dreams, others will see visions. This is what God stated through the prophet Joel. All right. And so Peter, when the people are asking him, hey, what is this? They're speaking in tongues. They're drunk. He says, no, they're not drunk. It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning yet. They're not drunk. But this is, and he starts to explain or reveal to them how the prophecy is being fulfilled. And so he quotes Joel chapter 2. And when you look at Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, it says, when you know that the poor spirit's been poured out, people will prophesy. They'll dream dreams. They'll have visions. All this is to accompany the outpouring of the Spirit. Here's what Nee points out. These evidence were apparently lacking at Pentecost. Now I'm just pausing for effect. So the disciples are speaking in tongues. And the people are wondering, what is this? And Peter says, this is the fulfillment of the outpouring of the Spirit, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as described in the Old Testament through Joel. But Joel never said anything about speaking in tongues. He said this other stuff. So one of the problems that I had being Pentecostal was they told me that I know that I have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because I'm able to speak in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you don't have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
That's not true.
Well, nobody told me any different. And when you look at Acts and you see that they spoke in tongues and that's Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit, then it was taught to me that, well, you must speak in tongues, and if you don't speak in tongues, then you don't have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because that is the evidence of the outpouring of the Spirit by you speaking in tongues. So here I am trying to get the outpouring of, you know, that's like I'm trying to get something that I already have, but I'm going through, you know, I have electricity.
Turn it on.
Well, no, I need to go back down to Alabama Power. No, you know what? Alabama Power has given me electricity, but I'm going to go contact Dixie Electric and ask them to give me some electricity too, because I just don't believe that Alabama Power has already powered my house. So I'm going to go down to Dixie. I'm going to call them up. I'm going to figure out what I need to do to get Dixie Electric to hook up my power when I already have the power available to me, but I don't know it. So I go through all these hoops. I make all these phone calls, and I have Dixie Electric come out here only to tell me you already got electricity. So... So nobody ever showed me or told me any different, because they just said, oh, no, if you. And so this is the problem that I had with many of my Pentecostal brothers, because then all of a sudden that dribbles down to the Baptist side. And I don't know if you got any Pentecostal friends, but some of mine were like, you know what? You know, you really can't make it if you don't have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So if you ain't speaking in tongues, we even question whether you're saved. Because we speak in tongues, and we got it. We know we got it. And there's where the problem lies in a lot of denominations. Because some people have tongues, and they believe they have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but then they're not using it the right way. And they're not teaching it the right way. And we as Baptists need to understand that we already have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We just need to walk in the knowledge of that. So this is a key passage where it says there's diversity and how you experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And just because you don't speak in... Now, here's the other thing, and I think... Roger and Lauren kind of talked about this last time. She's like, you know, tongues was important for back then. And so it may not be as important now, but it was important for back then. And I agree with that. Personally, this is just Chuck speaking. I believe that tongues was for back then, because there needed to be some evidence immediately that the outpouring of the Spirit was available to all. But I speak in tongues in my prayer life today, and so I know it's still available for us now. But that's just not the only evidence of the outpouring of the Spirit. I say that because remember when Christ was baptized? How do we know that the Holy Spirit came upon Christ after he got baptized? How do we know that? Would he have gotten the Holy Spirit without the dove?
Yes.
So what was the purpose of the dove?
Evidence for others.
You go and give Juanita a nice dessert.
I'll give a big hug.
Yeah, you can do that too. All right, go ahead.
Diversity.
It is. It's an example of diversity. So now all of a sudden we relate or equate as a symbol of the Holy Spirit the dove, because the Holy Spirit gives you peace. And so so the dove came down for all those other people that were around and watching. That's why Christ said to John the Baptist in the first place, John the Baptist was like, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And Christ tells him in Matthew 3, no. Suffer it to be so that we can fulfill all righteousness, so that we can make sure that future believers are in right standing. Because any time that you humble yourself and you repent, and you're baptized, and you come up from step 1, 2, and 3, you automatically please God, and he gives you the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But we didn't have, but the believers, when they saw Christ rise up from his baptism, they could not It's not like, well, we're going to wait for 40 days to see if he really has the baptism. No, that outward symbol was the dove. So here in Acts 2, we see that outward symbol was speaking in tongues. But it's not the only sign that you have the outpouring of the Spirit. And that's where this gets messed up. All right. So I really wanted to be a little bit further as we got like 11:19. So let me go a little bit further here. I love what he says. This is that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you read that, this is that. Mm-hmm. So you just need to figure out what your this is that is. Mm-hmm. All right. So Nee says on page 135. He said, this is that which has been spoken by the prophet Joel, Acts 2:16. It was not a case of fulfillment, but of an experience of the same order, is what Nee says. This is that means that this is that which you see and hear is of the same order of that which is foretold. Okay, so he goes a little bit further because that might be confusing to somebody. He says, this is that is not a question of the one being a replica of the other, but of the one belonging to the same category of the other. So tongues is an example of having the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. A changed life is an example of somebody having the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Chuck running through the neighborhood and praising God while he should be, you know, hawking his lungs out because he's tired, but he's powered by the Holy Spirit. This is that. How do I know I have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life? Because the things that I'll tell you one. So I'm praying and wife left after 2 weeks. And before she left, I asked her, I said, hey, did you cook anything? Because, you know, I don't cook. And she goes, no, you've been doing fine, you know, supporting the local restaurant. So, you keep doing that.
Local restaurants are closed.
So she took off. I'm doing fine. She's visiting the kids. I'm doing fine or whatever. And I'm praying. You know, I'm going through my prayer time. I'm having a great time. I'm having a great time praying. And I'm praying the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, you know, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And as I'm praying, it was brought back to my mind. It must not have been the Holy Spirit, but it must have been the other guy. It was brought back to my mind that I got to go find something to eat because old girl didn't cook anything. And I had some ought against that. So now I'm starting to feel a certain kind of way toward my wife because, you know, she ain't leaving me food. Cook nothing. I'm running and I'm at that, you know, lead us, you know, forgive us our debts and forgive our debtors. What level is that? When our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's level one. I'm acknowledging, humbling myself before the awesomeness of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not my will. I just repented because I got certain things I want to do, but now it's his will. Give us this day our daily bread, the providing for us or whatever. So my hope is in him providing for me. That's level three. Forgive us, forgive us our debts if we forgive our debtors. We're talking about level four kind of action, you know, that mercy, maybe five or whatever. I don't know. Maybe level five, the forgiveness or whatever. I got this all written out someplace or whatever. But when I start focusing on what's missing or what didn't happen, I start to get a little agitated. Where am I when that happens? Don't say I'm off the map, Al. I'm still running and praying. I can't be off the map.
You're agitated.
Well, maybe it's a holy agitation. But you know what I started doing? I started putting myself back into the garden. And rather than focusing on what I don't have, because that's what the enemy wants you to do, instead of focusing on what I don't have, I started focusing on what I do have.
Amen.
And what I do have is, girl left sanitizer, girl left soap, girl left, clean house for me. And so rather than, because when I focus on what I don't have, I'm going to get mad. So I started focusing on all the good things. And then I didn't focus so much on the bad stuff. But then I started praising God. Because guess what got me back on track? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When I prayed that I thank you, God, for the outpouring and the indwelling of your Spirit, all of a sudden it became real easy. That was like a 30-second argument with myself. That came real easy to say, I am powered by the Holy Spirit. I have it. I am full of the Holy Spirit, and it gives me the power. I am powered by the Holy Ghost, and it gives me the power to do those things that were difficult for me to do before. What was that? To forgive folk. So it's not just about tongues. It's not just about that. Hey, when I'm able to forgive people, this is that. If you're operating with the power of the Holy Spirit, don't let the enemy tell you that you do not have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit when these scriptures are saying you already have it, but you don't recognize what it is. No, no. When you have a life that's led and powered by the Holy Spirit, this is that. This is that. All right. And then he just gives a bunch of different examples of all these different people who had different experiences from D.L. Moody to others. It said it was not the same manifestation, but it was in the very same essence or whatever. Oh, man, I have felt the indwelling or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I can just be thinking and on my bike or just doing something, just thinking about the goodness of the Lord and how he saved me and how he filled me with his Holy Spirit. And I can just start praising him like I never praised him before. I actually started dancing in my driveway when I thought about the goodness of the Lord, powered by the Holy Ghost. One time I didn't do anything, and I just stood there and I just started crying because I was powered by the Holy Ghost. I called my wife today to check on her and tell her that I love her because I'm powered by the Holy Ghost. And I got plenty of food because I got some baby back ribs from Blue Moon. How about the Holy Ghost?
What time is dinner?
I only have enough for me. It's got to last. Hey, dear, it's got to last 2 days now.
Not with this bunch.
So he goes on a little bit further. I think we're sitting around 137, page 137. And he says, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon God's people, their experiences will differ widely. Some will receive new vision. Others will know a new liberty in soul winning. That happened to me. Others will proclaim the word of God with power. And yet others will be filled with heavenly joy or overflowing praise. This and this and this is that. Let us praise the Lord for every new experience. Oh, this is powerful. I should have highlighted this. Nee says this. Let us praise the Lord for every new experience that relates to the exaltation of Christ. How can I experience that? Right now, today, going forward, know that it's been revealed and walk in the newness of that by faith by saying, I am powered by the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is mine. And then make your next decision, make your next phone call, make your next text message or whatever, powered by the Holy Ghost. That's what level 4 is. And so all the mystery of that and the tongues and everything else that you're required to do. And if you don't do this, you really don't have it. You're missing it.
Yeah.
Because the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Joy.
And again, I'm not putting down tongues because I speak in tongues. I'm not in public because I don't know what the heck I'm saying. But when I'm praying sometimes, and I don't do it every day, but when I'm praying sometimes, I don't know what to say.
Right.
And I was praying for somebody who was sick because I got a friend who's got a friend's cousin who's got the coronavirus, and they're sick and they're in the hospital, been on a respirator for like 2 weeks now, and I don't know what else to say. So all of a sudden, I just realized I have this power inside of me, and my tongue just started going. This is that. All right. So it is 11:30. Let me see what else we got here. Oh, here we go. For all this, we didn't get as far as I wanted, but this is good. We must not, by our prejudices and preconceptions, make a watertight compartment of the working of his Spirit. He says this on page 138. This applies equally to those who require some particular manifestation, such as speaking with tongues, as evidence that the Spirit has come upon them, and to those who deny any such manifestation is given at all. So catch that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing prison ministry for a long time, and without doubt, about once or twice a year, one of the inmates would come up to me and say, "Hey, I was talking to some of my Pentecostal brothers, and they told me that that I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What do you say?" I said, "Absolutely. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need that power to be able to walk life, or else it'll just be a jailhouse religion for you. Yeah, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit." I said, "Well," they said, "I can't get it unless I speak in tongues." I'm like, "No. No. No. No." Because then you'll go chasing something. And I'm not saying, you just don't. That's just one. The mere fact that you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, this is that. All right. This takes us to page 138. So next week, we will. Oh, this is powerful, too.
Yeah.
And this is where, as a Pentecostal, I had to be careful. Because I got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and I got tongues, but I missed the indwelling part. So we already got the outpouring. So let me make sure we're clear on the outpouring. Everybody here, since I know I've been with you for a while and you're at level three at least, should be able to claim level four as done in your life, and you should be able to say, "I have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit." Next week, we'll talk about the indwelling of the Spirit, because Nee says the outpouring is one thing, and that's good, but the indwelling is even more important. All right. 11:33. I'm going to try to get a bike ride in before the storms come, since I don't have to get any food, because I'm good to go. Are there any questions or comments or thoughts about this before we sign off? You like He-Man? I have the power.
Amen.
Janice, are you all right? Talk to me, Janice.
Where is Janice?
She's somewhere on here.
Yeah, we're good.
You good?
Yeah, we're good.
Do you feel the power of the Holy Ghost? Hey, I'm going to pick on you just a little bit. God bless you. I love both of you. Let me. Have you ever heard anybody teach like that before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have? Oh, good.
Yeah, you.
Oh, no.
Well, I
thank God for Watchman Nee. I thank God for the revelation of the word or whatever. But when I read this book, I'm like, man, we got to fix some stuff. We got to fix some stuff. Isn't it nice to know that when you have a relationship with somebody and that thing and they've done something to you or they, you know, some kind of screw up or whatever, you don't have to respond in the flesh. You can be powered by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get up and I'm going, oh, Nellie Sue, I see you. God bless you. All right. All right. I love you guys. I'm going to let you go. I hate to let you go. I want to spend all day with you, but we got things to do. But, man, I just tell you, I love you guys, but this is so powerful. And somehow I just pray that you guys are able to relay this to others so that they know the power that they have inside. Next week is just going to be so powerful because people have a power inside that they don't even know about. And they don't know how to do it. This is the normal Christian life. And I've been abnormal for a long time. I've just been weird for a long time. And we just got to get this word out. We just got to teach. We got to teach our kids. We just got to teach folk that they got the power. All right. Make life so much better. I got to get up. I'm going to run in the morning. I don't want to feel like it because I'm going to stay up all night or whatever because they got two Twilight Zone episodes or whatever. They come on at 11:30 or whatever. I'm going to be up too late or whatever. My wife ain't here to make sure that I go to bed on time. So I'm going to sit up here in my recliner. I'm going to stay up to the wee hours, and I ain't going to want to wake up at 5:30 in the morning to go run. But guess what? I'm going to try to do it because you know what? I am powered by the Holy Ghost. All right. Everybody got Norm's text, chat? Be praying for Mandy. Praying for a good report on Tuesday. All right. Al?
Yeah.
You've been quiet.
Yes, sir.
How's your wife doing over there? Do you think she can pray us out?
Yes, she got the power, the Holy Spirit.
Oh, boy, you're about to make me shot up in here. Oh, you know what, Al? This must be that.
That is that.
Go ahead.